Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike Riley, I think the lead story in pro wrestling right now is Tessa Blanchard and the social media backlash she's gotten for having apparently a racist and bullying history. I did a breaking news podcast on Saturday night and went into detail about some of the issues at hand with her. In short form, at 11:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday morning, Tessa Blanchard tweeted the following, quote, "Hey women, try supporting one another. Cool things happen," unquote. And seemingly out of nowhere, current female wrestlers from all over the world, multiple different companies, quote tweeted Tessa Blanchard, giving specific details of Tessa using the N-word and bullying wrestlers. This is a big deal because Tessa Blanchard is challenging for the Impact Men's World Championship as we're recording this. And if you're listening to this on Monday morning, you know whether Tessa Blanchard has won or lost. I have the show on in the background, and when Impact showed video of both Tessa and Sami Callihan, the Impact champion, entering the arena, the crowd cheered for Tessa Blanchard and booed Sami Callihan. The story is what a historic, groundbreaking, and potentially promotion-changing, gender-changing, gender-wall-breaking moment for Impact Wrestling may have gone up in smoke. You already know if it has or not. Based on Tessa Blanchard treating people like garbage. And I can say that definitively because there are so many people who have come out and said that they have been treated like garbage by her. What a crap storm. One independent company has already removed Tessa Blanchard from a booking, and I feel like that's going to happen more and more going forward. Mike, your thoughts on the whole situation?
So it doesn't seem like we've officially heard from Tessa Blanchard at this very moment since we started recording. And I don't think we're going to either. I think that's a major mistake on behalf of her from a public relations standpoint. She needs to come clear here and really face the music, because all of these allegations coming against her does not look good. And when you don't say anything about it, either defending yourself or owning up to it, it makes it even worse. So she has to either come out with her own statement or hire a public relations team to say, yep, I screwed up. And now this was, what, 3 years ago we're looking at here for the first allegations of this on the racism part especially. And I think that's going to be decided by especially wrestling fans of color to determine if she's right or wrong. Now, this has happened before with numerous other some other professional wrestlers. Again, you can't go down that road. You can't really try not to compare them so much, because she has to figure out a way to say, I screwed up. It's not going to happen again. But you're also, at the same time, you're an adult. This is 3 years ago. You're still an adult. You're not 10 years old, 7 years older. You're a mature individual, uncalled for by her, and really get something out there sooner than later, before it becomes even worse. We've dealt with this stuff in the media, Jimmy. We've seen this stuff with the Patriots. Look at what happened this year with the Cincinnati Bengals. We didn't hear from them for a while, and then they finally got things out there. It got complicated and so forth. Antonio Brown, You have to get a statement out there. It's got to get out there. If she doesn't have it, it's going to make things even worse. So get it out there sooner than later, Tessa Blanchard.
So the closest that Tessa came was she sent out a tweet that said, "Not true. That's my statement and the most attention I'll give it because of how actually ridiculous it is." And there was no reference to what she was mentioning other than she quote tweeted something about relating to Chelsea Green. And then the statement that I just read on her Twitter was just a general not true.
Yeah.
So I tend to believe the multiple people, and I shared some stories that I had been given, and I pointed some people to the video of a specific incident that actually happened in Massachusetts. And so you can all find that out and go back and see whether Tessa Blanchard is I don't want to say a good person because that might be a little strong, but if the accusations against her are true or not.
And the one that did cancel her was based out of San Antonio for a January 24th independent show, heavy metal wrestling. And like you said, Jimmy, this is probably going to be a domino effect now where that's going to happen. Now, yes, there are two sides to every story, but this doesn't look good for her when everyone is kind of going after her on this. And like I told you in a text exchange we had earlier today, here she is going for the championship match on Impact, history potential to be made. First female as world champion there for Impact. It's almost like kind of like something you see a politician, I guess, something coming out of the woodwork here on the eve of a big debate or even an election, something along those lines to really change the whole face of you here. So if she's only going to say not true or whatever, she's got to come out with more of a statement. Listen, I don't know what they're talking about. Then you're going to have, you know, two sides to the story there. But right now, still doesn't look good from that one sentence statement of her going on that, like on Twitter. You need to have a little more detail in there, Tessa.
And as a 24-year-old, if she's given the Impact World Championship, it empowers her more than ever.
Oh my God, big time!
And it's fascinating to me because these talents were ready with receipts for when she said something provocative. And especially on the eve of her biggest professional moment, and it really became a perfect storm.
Yeah.
And everybody was ready to go.
Yeah, they're just right one after another. And, you know, for Impact, I think, obviously, this puts them in an interesting position here because you've seen one promotion already cancel her. Yes, an independent one. Impact is a more prominent promotion compared to the heavy metal one there, but they have a couple of things to deal with here. And if they do put the belt on Tessa Blanchard, yes, history, but also more attention to the brand. I think people are going to generate ratings on that to, you know, maybe some TV stations pick up on this and say, Tessa Blanchard, new champion. Here's what you said. Maybe that helps with the rating spike there for Impact. I think that's what they have to consider here. But at the same time, they also have to consider a PR hit for their promotion, too. So it's a little bit of a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario for them. I think that they probably will put the belt on her, though, just because of a rating spike. And then you're in the middle of everything else with, obviously, WWE, AEW, and NWA. You're right in there with so many promotions right there. So it gives them more of a attention get by fans.
We can transition to the Royal Rumble match. And let's praise ourselves for the Brock Lesnar scenario that we brought up last week. I brought up the idea of him being in the Rumble. I wanted his championship on the line. That at least was not announced on Monday Night Raw. Mike, you suggested him being the number one entrant. So let's advance this a little bit as we bury Horowitz ourselves and pat ourselves on the back.
Excellent. Very good. Feeling good there.
Why is WWE putting him in the Rumble, and why is he...
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
And why is WWE making him the number one entrant? In my opinion, Mike, they have an idea for the number two entrant. And it's a match they either can't do outside the Rumble, or it's a match that they want to tease for a future show, and this is how they want to tell the story to get there. In 1999, you'll remember, the Rumble started with Austin versus McMahon. And that story was obvious and where it was going. And the idea of that Rumble match was to continue the story and have Vince get a big win, a big match win over Austin, and then continue the story to St. Valentine's Day Massacre, and we know where that went. Right. In 07, the WWE used the Royal Rumble, and they used the end of the Rumble to have a Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker match, which was 10 minutes, and it was tremendous stuff. The next year, Taker and Michaels were out to open the 2008 Royal Rumble match. Yep. So I think they're using it. We'll see who number two is. We'll see whether it's a SmackDown representative. We'll see whether it's Kane Velasquez. We'll see whether it's just they're not going to announce it and it's going to be a surprise. Mike, what do you think the reason Brock Lesnar is in the Royal Rumble for?
Well, definitely the ratings aspect, you know, like what you said last week for the idea of him being in there, being in there as the, the top dog and that draw in the WWE. And yeah, sure, he is a champion, but this is where the WWE, I think, failed, Jimmy. I think that they, again, it has not been announced yet as of this recording, but that title should be on the line. They could have made this a much sexier Royal Rumble by saying, okay, we're going to put our champion in the Royal Rumble match and we're going to put the title on the line. So if Brock does get eliminated, whoever is the last person standing will become WWE champion, whether it be a Raw or SmackDown superstar. So much potential there. I think they failed right there. But as far as them putting him in there, to answer your question, it's all because of the draw. It's the name. It's to show that he's the guy. And sure, I don't think he's going to be you're going to have to put someone in there immediately with him as that number two entrant who can do the work there for a good, minute and a half, whatever the heck it is. We don't know the rules on this. But Lesnar, if he is to outlast everybody, you'll see him outside the ring, probably go through a table and take a good breather for a while, because he cannot work that whole length of time that the Royal Rumble usually lasts, and typically 45 minutes to an hour on average.
Yeah, he'd probably have to go 60 minutes to win the thing.
Yeah.
And they could do it like Vince and Austin. They were in the Royal Rumble match for the entire match.
Yep.
And they did something where Austin gets put in an ambulance and Vince is doing commentary. Like they can fudge it.
So much.
You'll remember the Royal, you'll remember SummerSlam, where they had one of my favorite matches of that year. They had a four-way match. It was Brock, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, and Samoa Joe. And they put Brock through a table. They stretchered him out, and then Brock comes back for the end of the match, and he wins the match. So they could do something like that. There's
so much.
There's stories to be told for the Royal Rumble to get Brock from the start to the finish.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of see where that story is told.
I mean, yeah, we're 2 weeks out, so still a little time. We still have time here to see if they're going to put the title on the line, but I think that was a real missed opportunity.
There is, and there are two things that I want to get to relating to the Royal Rumble men's match. I have kind of a dark horse developing opinion, and I'm not sure if he's going to win it or if he's just going to get a showcase spot.
Okay.
Samoa Joe, and here's why I say this. Samoa Joe did Corey Graves' podcast the other day, and Samoa Joe talked about Vince McMahon being in his ear and having good things to say about Joe's work.
It's really hard because, when you're doing commentary and Vince is in the headset, he's like, my God, you're like the next greatest thing. I mean, you have the voice of an angel and the insight of a God. And I'm like, stop, Vince. I'm trying to do the broadcast here. This is getting ridiculous.
If Vince buys into Samoa Joe, look out. And this would be a good thing for everybody. Like, I'm a huge Samoa Joe fan, have been for a long time. But if Vince understands Samoa Joe now, then he's going to be in a big position. Maybe he'll win the Rumble. Maybe he'll win Elimination Chamber. Maybe he'll win a Contenders match. And he'll be in a featured position for WrestleMania. But that's a good thing, as far as I'm concerned, that Vince might now be buying into Samoa Joe, the performer.
And he's also a big guy. Vince, who is favored over time with the size. Sure, I think that's a good one. My other one, I would say, is Kevin Owens. And I did propose that to be Brock Lesnar's opponent last week, if he were to have an opponent at the Royal Rumble. But that's where I think you could set up a Kevin Owens against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. But as far as Samoa Joe, though, the size is definitely become a face teaming up with Kevin Owens as of late. He put himself over big time. I thought he was great in the commentary for Raw.
He was excellent.
Yeah, did a really nice job. So, I think that would be a good scenario if he were to come out as the victor for the Royal Rumble. It also seems like a little bit, going back to the size of Vince McMahon, another dark horse, but he could be a favorite. Because I'd imagine Joe Murray will have some odds for us at some point before the Royal Rumble. Drew McIntyre, it seems like he's starting to get a little more.
I think he's in the mix.
Yeah.
They're going to bore us, and Roman Reigns is going to win the thing. But
gosh. I mean, I love Roman, but
yeah, we personally like Roman.
Yeah.
We're not excited about seeing Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania or
no.
If Roman gets the title before WrestleMania, maybe the play is they're going to do winner take all.
Yeah.
And Brock versus Roman is 1-2 in the Rumble. Mm-hmm. They do something where Roman eliminates Brock.
Yep.
Roman wins the Rumble. He beats Bray Wyatt between now and WrestleMania. And the main event is Brock versus Roman, winner take all.
And I'm fine with that. Unify the titles. Saying that for a while.
I would much rather see Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar, because that match you can't call.
No, you really can't. And, the star power of Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, is so big right now. And Lesnar, too, with the draw he is. That's good. I don't think it's going to go that route, though. I just see, WWE coming in, like, watch them throw Kane Velasquez in there. Just watch it happen. Not saying it will, but they're, from what we've seen, the track record, they'll do something like that to piss us off. Like, oh, what the hell is this about? But it's WrestleMania. That's why they do it. We'll see. Yeah.
The real WrestleManias are done in Saudi Arabia these days. Before we get to that, Mike, you sent me a text message saying, mm-hmm. quote, "Don't rule out CM Punk returning at the Royal Rumble," unquote. Mike, right. Expand on that, please.
Just a lot of rumor and innuendo, not just around the internet, but some talk, too, from what I've heard, that CM Punk, there is a possibility he'll be a surprise entrant at the Royal Rumble. And sure, he's made it clear over time, or not clear, but like in so many words, that he's done. He is done. But now with this new relationship on the SmackDown talk show he has, he's part of the commentary team there, you can never rule anyone out returning. So for CM Punk to possibly come back, now is the time. And yes, it would make the most sense with him as a surprise entrant at the Royal Rumble. Can you imagine, not the Astrodome, but where is it, Minute Maid Park, where this is going to be? The roof will blow up. It'll explode when they hear the Cult of Personality hit on the loudspeakers there and CM Punk comes out. And if that's the case, he might win the damn thing. He might win the damn thing.
So I certainly understand that Punk has a ton of buzz around him, and we're all waiting for him to return, and the Rumble makes a lot of sense.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And the wrench. And the towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random 2x found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
The Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
for him to return. But there are a lot of layers that the WWE and Punk have to go through to get to that point. And especially after Punk's tweet towards The Miz the other day, Mike, did you see this?
Yeah, that wasn't the best.
It was Punk wrote, he was quote tweeting a Fox, WWE on Fox video. And Punk said, quote, "Go suck a blood money covered bleep in Saudi Arabia, you bleeping dork," unquote.
Yeah.
And Miz tweeted back about changing the culture. Punk deleted his tweet. I didn't see if the Miz had deleted his, but Punk is really, quote, working, really, he's really working hard to keep his buzz alive. Like when he does the FS1 show, the ratings increase and they increase by a lot. For Punk, I still think the match that draws the most is Triple H. That doesn't have to involve the Royal Rumble unless Punk is an entrant in the middle and then out comes Triple H, and that's how they re-spark that fire. But I think for Punk to do anything, I think it's going to cost him a lot of money. And, I mean, I would do it, but there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that I think that CM Punk has to either apologize for, or WWE has to let the roster know what's going to happen, and then kind of go from there. And, you know, they're not good at sharing secrets because they're afraid that things are going to get out. There's a case that happened. We're taping this on Sunday, and Marty Scurll just re-signed with Ring of Honor, and he's the booker. And while the meeting was going on to the Ring of Honor locker room, the news broke that he was signed to a new deal and that he's the head booker. So, like, there's a reason why Vince doesn't tell everybody what's going on. And maybe that's to a fault, but, you know, and of course, be ready to take a drink. My default setting is Marty told Cody, who's a vice president of AEW, and then Cody leaked it to the wrestling media. And thus it got out, because my default setting is blame Cody for everything.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and here we are, of course, 2020, so much out there, and, you know, people leaking things left and right. Vince's circle is pretty darn small. It's a very small circle there, and for him to keep it close to his chest like that. But for CM Punk to potentially come back, they got 14 days. My dream scenario, two dream scenarios for CM Punk to enter the Royal Rumble as a surprise entrant. One, to piggyback of what you said, of him being a surprise entrant and Triple H also being a surprise entrant into the Royal Rumble match. They both go face-to-face and they eliminate each other. And then the other scenario would be CM Punk surprise entrant and John Cena surprise entrant, and have those two go face-to-face, and then they eliminate each other. And then that sets up the match at WrestleMania, CM Punk Cena or CM Punk Triple H.
So I love Cena. I love the Cena CM Punk thing. I just think that the only story for Cena to tell is that chase for 17.
And
whether that's he wins the Rumble and he fights Brock, he's a surprise opponent that eventually gets him to Brock. I think that's the only story you can tell for John Cena. This WrestleMania being in Tampa is he's chasing 17. Now whether he gets it or not is up to Vince McMahon, but you know, a year ago we were talking about, or maybe not a year ago, but you know, 6-8 months ago, we were talking about Brock Lesnar's last match being WrestleMania in Tampa. We'll see if that's actually true. I thought I saw something that Brock signed a new deal, but who knows? That thing changes all the time. It looks like, speaking of new deals, it looks like WWE is continuing a long-term deal with Saudi Arabia, and they are doing a show, depending on who you read, either February 20th or February 27th. Of course, February 27th is the day before WWE is doing SmackDown in Boston. And I bring this up because our friend Lauren had asked me why there was no pay-per-view on the schedule for February. And I said, well, maybe there's the NXT TakeOver that's in Portland is going to cover that quota, but I guess not. So this is this feels like it's going to be a pig orgy again. And, you know, the question I have is the Saudi prince going to take hostages again? Because he did for the last one, right. Allegedly.
Right, right. And
but why? I know why. It's because it's money and things like that. But
right,
this is my point about, you know, the Saudi show on paper is going to be bigger than WrestleMania, but yeah. WrestleMania is WrestleMania because that's what we were conditioned for. So if you want an early prediction on that SmackDown in Boston, the opening match is going to be Sasha Banks versus Bayley, and they're going to go a 60-minute time limit draw for the SmackDown Women's Championship because the women are the only people who are going to be around other than Daniel Bryan and Miz and people who will just refuse to go.
So the other thing to take into consideration, too, that February 28th SmackDown in Boston, it's also going to be a week before the Elimination Chamber. Do you know that Elimination? Yeah, Elimination Chamber has been moved to March 8th.
Okay.
So that might be, you know, obviously a build up there to that. And now with this potential thing, if that's going to happen in Saudi Arabia on the 27th, that would, like you said, suck. But if it's on the 20th, a little better for those going to the Boston SmackDown. But yeah, I could see that if it's all the women and then, you know, you have your takeover, like you said. I mean, that was probably one of the best things that could happen to SmackDown back in the fall there when the NXT took over that Buffalo show. Great show, and it set up the Survivor Series. It set the groundwork for that. So that is another possibility right there, obviously, like we mentioned. But the Saudi Arabia, here we go. And now we know the trouble with the U.S. and the Middle East right now with Iran. I'm not going to get political here and so forth, but it just, I don't know. It stinks. It really stinks. And maybe you won't see a guy like, say, The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Instead, you're going to see him at the Saudi Arabia show. You might even see a John Cena at the Saudi Arabia show over WrestleMania, all because...
John's not doing Saudi Arabia shows, supposedly.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. Let me take that back. Yes, he's been very open about that. Yes. But you might see...
He did the one, Hunter beat him, and he's like, no mas.
That's right. He was done. No, that's right. I forgive myself on that. But something like that, big name matches that you may not get at a Mania instead of this, which is way too close to WrestleMania, Jimmy. Do this in May. Do this in April after WrestleMania. Oh, hate it. Terrible.
Well, it's the theory that you're popping big shows every month. And while still to me, the Rumble and WrestleMania are your two biggest shows, with Money in the Bank being third, they right. just assume more is more and more is better and more is not necessarily better. Less is more. You know, one of the reasons why I think NXT is so loved and AEW is so loved is because it's been in small doses. It's once a week. Their pay-per-views are quarterly, or their special events are not every month or two a month or whatever. You know, there's still some matches in NXT that I want to see. You know, and transitioning a little bit to AEW, like, I'm interested in this Chris Jericho, John Moxley storyline.
Oh, yeah.
And where they're going with it. Jericho offers Moxley a car that a week ago was worth $1 million. Now it's devalued to, you know, only $750,000. I mean, that's drive off the lot rates, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, Moxley acts like he joins the inner circle. Like, if you're an ECW fan, you remember Taz joining the ECW Triple Threat. I thought it was going to be Moxley was going to protect Jericho in the same way Taz protected Shane Douglas until the time was right. They did it all in one segment. So they've got a lot of story to tell between John Moxley, Chris Jericho, and the Inner Circle before Moxley challenges for the AEW Championship, which we all assume is happening February 29th at AEW's next pay-per-view in Chicago.
Right.
And it's going to be a good story to tell, I think. Moxley is the number one ranked performer in AEW's rankings right now to Chris Jericho's championship. And, you know, annoying little detail, Cody is ranked second, but Cody isn't eligible to challenge for the championship, so I don't see the point in having him too. And Kenny Omega, thankfully, is number three. So that's kind of my big takeaway from AEW this week.
Yeah.
What is yours? What are yours?
Yeah, so, you know, I watched this show. Let me say this. First, I watched NXT, and then I got to AEW, and I thought, I'll go to NXT in a minute, but AEW, I thought it wasn't a bad show because the New Year's Day one was really good, and it's not easy to have two real powerhouse shows in a row. I thought the booking for the whole thing could have been done a little differently. That opening match was really good one. Kenny Omega and Hangman. And then, of course, you know, you had the video backstage there of Pac with Omega kind of setting that up there. And then Paige with this drinking thing is really good. What I had a problem with was during the women's match, this was very bizarre, I thought. Brandi Rhodes is on commentary and kind of just, this is where I think AEW is kind of failing right now. And I'll talk about Moxley in a minute. I know we were talking about that, but what I had a problem with there, Brandi Rhodes, it seems like she's burying the female talent. And AEW, with your female talent not really at its prominent level compared to the other, you know, organizations and the promotion and so forth, they need that help. And she's blasting Britt Baker and just, again, taking the shots at Excalibur.
That would be Exhibit. That would be Exhibit.
Yeah,
because Brandi needs Exhibit to remove the mask.
Yes, yes. But however, though, the one line that really stuck out to me by Brandi Rhodes saying this, she said, "I'd rather be taking a nap than watching this match." You're burying your talent right there. Now, they're trying to go one of two routes here. One, to make her the heel, which I don't think she's the best heel. I really don't. But when she is out there trying to make herself the top one and everyone go after her, I think that's what they're trying to do. The way they're executing, though, is not good. And then, you know, this guy, Dr. Luther, comes out to be part of this Nightmare Collective. No idea who the hell he is. I mean, I did a little research. Like, he is a good friend of Chris Jericho, and, you know, there may be a match there down the line. But that was a pretty good match, I thought, between Rio and Starlander. And then Austin Kong comes in and Melanie Cruz as well. It just, I thought it was kind of a waste. I don't know where they're going with this. So for Brandi Rhodes to bury your female talent, I don't agree with that right now.
So the argument that I would make is Brandy's a heel, so she's, of course, supposed to bury whoever. I didn't like how she did it either.
Oh, brutal.
Brandy's got a little bit of this entitlement.
Yeah.
And it's just a vibe from, I've seen her do some interviews, and she's just got this arrogance to her. She comes across as somebody who has accomplished more than she actually has.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and look, I'm a hack radio producer, so what do I know about this?
No, but it's
in my analysis of, like, what her character is and how she presents herself, I think that's fair game.
Right.
I didn't like her on commentary, and the whole women's division is kind of confusing to me anyway.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Rio might be this fabulous performer, and I think she's getting a break from the crowd because the AEW crowd wants to like everything.
Right.
So she's the focus of the title, and she doesn't want help defending her title.
Right.
And Brandi and her group are trying to help her keep the title, but they want the title, and they wanted Chris Statlander to join them, but she refused that invite. So now, because they can't, because Awesome Kong isn't good enough to beat Chris, then they add this male deathmatch legend who only Excalibur knows about because I had never seen the guy before.
Oh, it's terrible.
And this is another pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
They did a commercial break in the middle of a championship match. They need to stop this. They need to put emphasis on their championships. If you want to have a commercial break during another match, I don't like that, but okay. But stop interrupting your championship matches with commercial breaks.
Especially
we're in a
for
different
the
era, and your sponsors will understand because the ratings will be higher. This is such a detail. It's just such a detail. If you have somebody, they're probably, in this day and age, they're going to go away.
Yep.
The hardcores are going to stay, and everybody else is going to go away.
Right.
So
right.
Keep with the match accent, the action in the ring. Keep with it. It's just, it's so simple. You don't see, if this were a real sport, you don't see the NBA going to commercial break while Kemba Walker is dribbling the ball up past half court to go pitcher and pitcher. You don't do it.
Right.
It's annoying.
It was. And then again, this is where I had trouble with the booking. After that, they went to Daniels and Sammy Guevara, where again, you know, it was just too busy, bad timing with the Dark Order coming out right after the Nightmare Collective. Too much. That's where I would have flipped it. I would have put Cody and Dustin versus the Lucha Brothers, which I think saved that show. And then you put if you have to go Guevara and Daniels in there, great. The common trend for the show, Jimmy, though, the common trend for this particular AEW show, interruption for each match. There was no clean finish, nothing. It was consistent interruption. You know, Arn Anderson right outside there with Cody and Dustin. And then, you know, Phoenix tried to get in the ring there with the chair. But it was a good match. And by the way, hot take, Arn Anderson will turn on Cody Rhodes. Get ready for that.
Of course, because you never trust an Anderson.
That's right. Or of course.
One thing you mentioned the Dark Order. And I didn't like them coming out at 8:53 because in my mind, like 9 o'clock is prime real estate and you're blending into that. But I did want to bring up the Dark Order because during the course of the show, the AEW show, Aaron on Twitter, his Twitter handle is @B_RAUS. Okay. He sent me a tweet. He thinks Matt Hardy is going to be the leader of the Dark Order when his contract expires with WWE. And while I don't know if that's going to be true, I liked the thought process.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. Jeff and Matt Hardy, more so Matt, have been open about when their contracts are up. And if you do the math, you can figure out when they are. But I do know as a fact that the Hardy Boys loved working that short program with the Bucks of Youth.
Yep.
And if you're telling me that Matt and Jeff Hardy are coming to AEW, I think AEW would be interested. And I think that would give AEW some more star power. Now, what do Matt and Jeff have left? As far as in-ring, that's a different story. But you know you're going to get quality promos out of Matt. And Jeff is up for doing everything. You just got to make sure he can get a Lyft or an Uber to and from the building and get home.
Yeah, it's a draw, the Hardy Boys.
But it's the Hardys, and that would be, I think that would be important if AEW were to acquire, would be able to get their hands on the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, that would be good. Also, too, Luke Harper, too. Not saying he'll be a Dark Order, but he'll go AEW eventually once that 90-day compete is up.
Which is sometime in the middle of March.
It's coming.
Yep. I think they purposely did it so that it's after AEW's pay-per-view, but they can probably work around that.
Just one more thing I really liked. Two things. MJF, I think he might be the top heel in the whole pro wrestling right now. He's definitely top five. For what he's done, he's awesome on the microphone. Some of his great lines he had. I mean, it was pretty bad, but send you to the hospice, bang one of your daughters with a DDP, top heel right there. Fantastic. Great what he's done. And I love that we're going to get this Cody response. I cannot wait for that. But what I really liked, I just want to touch on this real quick, with the Jon Moxley and Jericho. It brought me back to Stone Cold Steve Austin from the late 90s. And it was like, yeah, he got that offer to join the corporation and nope, screw you, Vince, to here we are to the Inner Circle with Chris Jericho. For what we have seen now, me as a fan, I didn't appreciate Chris Jericho and Jon Moxley as much as I did before. Now, because what I'm seeing, and I've mentioned this before, but I've really noticed it this week, they're being real. They're being natural characters. Jon Moxley, the way he said it at the end, I was just kidding. Like, he could say that a little bit as Dean Ambrose, but that's really him, Jimmy. This is a real character right there, the way they want to be, the way they want to portray stuff. So enjoy what you're seeing with them on AEW right now, because this is real stuff, the way they're performing to the audience. Appreciate it, Jericho and Moxley.
And I think that's one of the major differences between AEW's connectivity to the audience and WWE's is they are giving, here's the bullet points. Mm-hmm. You make it yours.
Absolutely.
So the crowd loves Chris Jericho and is cheering for Chris Jericho, and Chris Jericho hears that and is trying to insult the crowd off the top of his head, and the crowd is booing out of respect, but they still love Chris Jericho.
Right.
And that's what's happening.
That's all it is.
And that's to your point about Jon Moxley, is they're trying to figure out, like, how can we execute this and have this connect? And that's why I think for a long time NXT was the best at doing that, because the Ciampa Gargano story, people knew that they were roommates at one time. They were tag team partners. And then Ciampa moves out so that they can do the program, and so on and so on and so on. And you know the story, and the story never got its conclusion.
Exactly.
But that was a big part of it. And if you look back to ECW, when they blinded the Sandman answered his door with the wraps on his eyes, because they were playing it up like he was really blinded.
So, good show for AEW. We'll see how it goes this week. I cannot wait for the Cody response to MJF.
I didn't like the fact that they pushed the Cody response back a week. I know.
But they're dragging it out. That's all they're doing.
I totally understand it, but it's one of the rare occasions where AEW said they were going to do something and they didn't deliver.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, it's only a matter of time before Cody gets his world title shot against whoever.
Which I'm okay with.
No,
you're not. Yeah.
No, it's fine. Like, Cody runs the territory. He can book himself as champion, you know.
Man.
Marty the Melvin's going to do that soon anyway. Just a prediction.
Sure.
One thing I didn't like on NXT was the Dusty Rhodes tournament. I like tag team wrestling, but they named this as a tribute to Dusty Rhodes, but despite his territory tag team championship wins, Dusty to me is more well known as a singles competitor. Yeah. And if you're only a WWE fan, you know Dusty for wearing polka dots and having a theme song that at the time I thought was really cool.
Yeah, he's American made. Yeah.
And maybe if WWE had opened up this to Raw and SmackDown, I'd be more into it. You know, have the Usos from SmackDown fight the Undisputed Era. And you can set up the bracket and showcase the tag teams across three different brands. And I think it would be good to have continuous live mentions of NXT on Raw and SmackDown. I just think that that's something that they should invest in.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look carefully too at just going back to AEW on that, they were very aware about the Dusty Rhodes thing, because DDP gave a shout out to Dusty Rhodes on his promo. So this is, I think, just WWE's way in NXT, if you will, to kind of say, well, Dusty Rhodes was with us and Cody's over there AEW. We got to stick it to you. We got to put a name here. And that's what we're doing here. We're going head to head with you now. And, you know, let's kind of like rub a little salt in the wound, you guys. We know what you guys are doing. Cody and Dustin tag teaming up. So the Dusty Rhodes tag team tournament. You're right. I don't even think of him as a tag team competitor. He was a singles guy with Sapphire by his side and polka dots, son of a plumber, all that good stuff right there. But no, not a tag team guy. Matches didn't do much for me either. Bring it all out there. Great way to, you know, promote some of these guys, like you said, on the Raw SmackDown roster. Put them in there with like you said, the Usos, the Revival would be great. New Day, so much opportunity, so much. And yeah, it's just, it's a waste. Stupid.
Mike Riley, you have a lightning round for us.
Okay, Jimmy, here we go. So all indications are that Edge could be returning. Edge has said, though, in the past that he is not going to be back. Might be a work. I don't know. Triple H has also said that I think it would be great to see Edge back, and just like everyone else, to get him in the ring. So that seems like a tease right there. If Edge were to come back for one more match, say at WrestleMania, in that scenario, who do you want to see as Edge's opponent?
I would want it to be a Hardy Boy.
Really?
I would, because there's a story there.
Oh, okay. So Matt
or Jeff Hardy, one of the Hardy Boys, because it would be continuation of the Hardys versus Edge and Christian versus the Dudleys. That seems like that has the story already built into it.
Or could you do Matt versus Edge and Lita as a special guest referee?
You could.
I'd actually go John Cena because I loved those matches between the two of them. And, you know, Edge beating Cena at the SummerSlam in Boston in 2006. Cena getting right back at him there for the, I think it was Unforgiven or Backlash, one of the two.
Ladder match in Toronto, yep.
Yeah, really good. You know, I thought they had a good, really good chemistry in the ring. They worked really well together. And Edge as the heel is just fantastic. So that's my dream match right there. Edge versus Cena get a legendary match. Boom. If it were to happen in WrestleMania. All right, here we go. Next one for you, James. NXT, as you know, weekly on television now. And it's been discussed that they might go on the road. But otherwise, they're doing pretty good at
Full Sail University.
Full Sail University down in Orlando there. So if NXT, is it time for them to go on the road weekly for television?
I don't think so, but I would keep them where they're at because that crowd loves their show and it's more cost efficient. The reason why you would put them on the road is because when you watch AEW show, it looks like more of a spectacle. It's a little bit easier on the eyes. They shoot it really well, where that crowd is just so enthusiastic for it. And it's bigger venues. And despite people on Twitter texting, oh, look, there's empty seats at the AEW show. Well, wrestling is now a television show. Yep. So they're going to shoot it so that the building looks full. But until there is a new star of the John Cena, Rock, Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, this is what you're getting. And there's not really a lot of reason to go to the live events.
Yeah, hot crowd. Don't fix it if it ain't broke. They've become their own brand. It's a really powerful thing for the TV. Keep it as is for a little bit. And then, yeah, not right now. Maybe in the next year or so. But for now, keep it in Orlando.
And I think one of the reasons why so many wrestlers want to work for NXT is because it's 52 dates a year plus takeovers. And most of them live in that Orlando area.
Right.
And they can work out at the Performance Center.
You're right there, headquarters, essentially. So Kevin Owens has been very open about going back
to it. Tommaso Ciampa.
Ciampa.
Is an NXT guy for life.
Yep, and Oscar wants to go back. I don't know. We'll see. So a lot of things to take into consideration there. All right, it was 28 years ago this week. Shawn Michaels, he super kicked Marty Jannetty through the barber shop window on Wrestling Challenge. Obviously, the Hulk Hogan heel turn joining the NWO as a third man, it's probably at the top of everyone's list as the greatest heel turn of all time. Where do you rank this one as the greatest heel turn of all time, among those, if you will?
I would have it third.
Number three.
I would have Hogan NWO as number one at Bash at the Beach. I would have Andre the Giant turning on Hogan before WrestleMania 3 is number two. Mm-hmm. You know, Marty Jannetty diving through the barbershop window to get away from Shawn Michaels is number three.
Diving. Gosh.
You know, I knew that was coming. I mean, I was telling you guys off and on that, you know, Michaels doesn't need Jannetty. Come on.
Keenan was fantastic
he
there.
Was great in that performance. I would do number four is Bret Hart turning on America.
Really?
And number five is Stephanie McMahon turning on Test and Vince and keeping her marriage with Triple H. Because nobody saw that Wedding Chapel wedding coming. It was brilliant TV. Just brilliant TV.
Yeah, classic wedding.
What's yours, Mike?
Yeah, so number one, Hogan on that. This is actually number two for me, Shawn Michaels, because it also propelled his individual career. Really good stuff. Number three, I had to go Andre turning on the Hulkster. Number four, Owen Hart turning on Bret Hart.
And that was the night that he kicked the leg out of your leg.
That's right, yes, at the Royal Rumble. But then it even happened before that at the Survivor Series, the real official start to it. And then number five was Stephanie and Triple H. I mean, nobody saw that. Turning on Vince at that Armageddon right there.
Shout out to the Corporate Rock, the Survivor Series Deadly Game Tournament.
Great one.
Which was Vince Russo's Picasso painting for a show.
Oh, that was a damn good one. And final one, James, since we are here in Royal Rumble season with 2 weeks to go until the 30 man and women match, what is your favorite Royal Rumble of all time?
1992. Bobby Heenan and Gorilla were great on commentary. They made that match. They helped that match so much. You know, it's not fair to Flair. So 1992, Ric Flair wins the world championship. The promo after, and I'm going to tell y'all with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment of my life. And then Mean Gene Okerlund going, put that cigarette out.
And I love Mr. Perfect and Bobby Heenan right there. We're not the kind of guys to say we told you so, but
we told you so.
There you go. Yeah, 92.
And shout out to 1997. That was Steve Austin winning it in, I almost called it the Astrodome, but that's not even close.
Alamo Dome.
That was an excellent Royal Rumble where they had the finish of Steve Austin being eliminated and then eliminating Undertaker, Bret Hart, and Vader.
Vader, yeah, because they went the Fatal Four.
The Fatal Four Way, yep. But 92 is number one for me, and then 97 is number two for me.
Yeah, I'd also throw in 94 as well. I loved, I mean, it was a bizarre ending there, but it set up the WrestleMania 10, Bret getting the title off of Yokozuna finally, and, you know, Lex Luger, I thought it would have been the champion, but that did not happen, and I just really enjoyed that one a lot, too. So there you go. That is your lightning round this week for the second week of 2020.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. We'll be back next week, Mike and I. At the very least, we'll ask Joe Murray if he has odds for the Royal Rumble, and we'll give you that Royal Rumble preview. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can email the show, WrestleCast985@gmail.com. If you have a thought, a comment, you want to MF me and have me know what your email address is, you can do that. WrestleCast985@gmail.com. You can follow me on social media, on Twitter specifically, at I am James Stewart. We'll talk to you next week for Royal Rumble preview.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench.
And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.